Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
When I met with the governors, all of them have projects that are shovel-ready, that are going to require us to get the money out the door, but they've already lined up the projects and they can make them work.
There's a new catchphrase of the incoming Obama administration, shovel-ready. And we'll find out what the governors of New York and New Jersey might have that is shovel-ready for public works infrastructure jobs programs this morning. That, of course, was President-elect Barack Obama from his weekly Saturday YouTube address, I guess we call it now, previously known as the Saturday radio address. It's still carried on radio, but whoever heard those things on the radio, right? You hear the sound bites on the newscasts. But he is getting ready to launch these massive new public works and infrastructure programs not seen in generations. The Times said not seen since the interstate highway programs of the 1950s. And he's also getting ready to deal with the issue of mortgages and foreclosures.
I'm disappointed that we haven't seen quicker movement on this issue by the administration. And we have said publicly and privately that we want to see a package that helps homeowners, not just because it's good for that particular homeowner. It's good for the community. When you have foreclosures, property values decline, and you get a downward spiral all across America. It's also good for the financial system.
That was the president-elect from his Meet the Press interview with Tom Brokaw yesterday. So if we're bailing out the banks, bailing out the auto companies, he wants to go for some of these homeowners facing foreclosure as individual human being Americans as well. And this all comes as Congress and President Bush do seem ready now to give the Detroit automakers some kind of bailout, less money than they wanted, to tie them over until the new administration comes in to grapple with it again. Also, as some other things are going on, like Caroline Kennedy's name keep being in the papers every day for perhaps U.S. Senator from New York to replace Hillary Clinton. So let's talk about all of this with a Democrat and a Republican from our local congressional delegations. First, we have Democrat Anthony Weiner. From Brooklyn, also a mayoral hopeful for New York City for 2009, and a brand new member of the House from our area. He is Republican Leonard Lance, who was Republican leader in the state Senate. He is replacing Mike Ferguson, who is retiring from his seat in Clinton Township and surrounding areas in central New Jersey. So Congressman Weiner, welcome back to WNYC. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you. And congratulations, Congressman-elect Lance. We've got to admire a Republican who got elected during this time, so he must have run a terrific campaign.
Well, thank you, Congressman.
And Mr. Lance, welcome back in your new role.
Thank you.
Congressman Weiner, let me start with you and Brooklyn. How are things economically in your district? Can you be an economic indicator for us and tell us what's happening specifically as you can in the neighborhoods you represent?
Well, you know, I represent these kind of middle-class communities in Brooklyn and Queens that have really gone through a very tough period followed by an even tougher one. You know, we watched as property values went through the roof, and a lot of people who were sitting in $300,000 homes in Massbeth and Forest Hills suddenly found them being worth $600,000-$700,000. But all that really meant for them was that their taxes had been a lot higher. The real incomes had been flat. Frankly, job creation in the boroughs had been going down rather than up. And now we have this period that so many of the back office jobs from the financial business are the offices that are the mainstay of my district. So it's really been a body blow followed by another one. You know, the thing I hear people saying a lot around my district is, you know, I keep hearing that the Gilded Age had ended in New York City, but for a lot of our residents here in the boroughs, it never really arrived. So people are very, very anxious, and there's a certain degree of anger. If I had a dime for every time someone said, hey, you're bailing out them, when are you going to bail out me? I'd be a pretty rich person.
And Congressman-elect Lance, tell us about your district. What are some of the various towns and cities in it, and how would you describe the economic hit that your area is taking right now?
54 municipalities in north central New Jersey, Bryan. Woodbridge in Middlesex County, which has 100,000 people, very near Staten Island. And then moving west all the way to the Delaware River and the Pennsylvania border. Suburban towns outside New York, like Summit and Westfield. Farther west in farm country in Somerset County. and I live out in Hunterdon County in the most rural part of the district, and we are experiencing the same sort of situation as Congressman Weiner's district. Main streets across these towns in north central New Jersey are under great challenge, as are the taxpaying public, with extremely high property taxes here in New Jersey. The same situation as is true in New York City itself.
That is some urban to rural district you've got there.
Yes, indeed.
Any businesses or sectors or populations of workers being particularly hard hit by the losses and layoffs for your folks, Congressman-elect Lance?
Yes, absolutely. In the financial sector, a lot of people work on Wall Street, telecommunications sector, and we have more pharmaceutical jobs in this congressional district than any congressional district in the nation.
How are they holding up?
I think that they're under challenge as well, not only domestically, but, of course, from the worldwide situation.
And I just have to ask, anybody doing well for either of you? Are there any signs of economic life in your district that counter some of the doom and gloom, Congressman Weiner?
Well, we have it. I'd love to say that there are, but you know, we have so many people that are tied up in Wall Street, and even the people who are affected by the general economy. You know, on Coney Island Avenue between Avenue U and V is a Ford dealership. On that same block, there's also auto parts dealers, and there's also other shops there. Everyone is feeling kind of the general reduction in consumption. I'm not seeing if people are doing well, they're certainly not talking about it much.
And Leonard Lance, same question.
I agree with Congressman Weiner. No, I think all of the various sectors of the economy out here are under stress, and I do not yet see any sign of a revival. I think we're at the very trough of the recession.
Now, the president-elect in the first clip that we played said governors have shovel-ready plans for infrastructure. So a lot of the infrastructure and jobs creation programs that he's looking to start would be channeled through the states. Congressman Weiner, does New York have such shovel-ready programs that you can identify?
Well, in fact, you know, the one good thing about the governance of the MTA recently, and I've been very critical of them, is they have outlined a pretty ambitious capital plan, both on restoring what's falling apart and also trying to make some expansions. Our MTA is a virtual walking shopping list of things that are all ready to go. Mayor Bloomberg is down in Washington today also talking about some of the projects that the city has ready to go, and I'm eager to be as helpful as I can to make it possible. And I think you're going to see Congress try to adopt a program that doesn't just disperse the money based on politics, but tries to take a model that Congresswoman Israel DeLauro and myself proposed, which is have kind of real infrastructure commission that looks not just what's good politically this year, but looks long-term what does the most to grow our economy. But I think New York City is ready to go, and New York State is ready to go with the list of such projects.
How about shovel-ready projects in New Jersey, Leonard Lance?
The most important is the Trans-Hudson Tunnel. This is a high priority for us in New Jersey. It's a high priority for Governor Corzine, and I hope for Governor Patterson as well. And certainly it will inure to the benefit of the entire region, and it is environmentally friendly, and we need to build that Trans-Hudson Tunnel. And let me comment that I agreed with what you said at the beginning regarding the interstate highway system that produced a whole generation of opportunity. And as you know, it came in the Eisenhower administration, and the chief sponsor in the U.S. Senate was Prescott Bush, the retiring president's grandfather.
Yeah, how about that? So what goes around comes around.
That's right. But
where are you as a newly elected Republican member of the House on some of the content of what the president-elect was laying out in this radio and YouTube address on Saturday? This ambition to expand the definition of traditional work programs for the middle class as the Times wrote it up yesterday, the infrastructure projects to repair roads and bridges of old, but meeting new era jobs in technology and so-called green jobs that reduce energy use and global warming and build out broadband internet infrastructure. Are you on board with that as an approach?
Absolutely. I think each generation has to respond to the situation at hand, and the problems of this decade and of this century are different from the coming of the New Deal in 1933 or the interstate highway system in the middle 1950s and into the 1960s, and we have to respond to the emerging markets as they exist and the emerging technology as it exists.
You know, William Kristol in his column today suggests that Republicans oppose green technology public works and emphasize the traditional values of national defense and public works jobs. You're not down with that?
I have a strong environmental record. I am proud of that record, and I think we need more Republicans in the House, in particular, who are moderates on these issues, and that is my record, and I assume that's one of the reasons I was one of two Republicans nationally to have been endorsed by the New York Times in this election cycle.
All right. Congressman Wiener, Congressman-elect Lance, my guest on WNYC, Democrat from New York, brand new Republican from New Jersey for the House of Representatives. And we have about 8 to 10 minutes for some phone calls for them if anybody wants to get in, especially as it relates to what's going to happen here in 2009 once they hit the ground running, or some of the bailout questions for homeowners, for the auto companies, whatever. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And your own reactions to the president-elect's positions as he continues to lay out what he wants to spend money on, and let it be known that he wants to spend a lot of money on stimulus and public works beginning in 2009. 212-433-WNYC, or post a comment or a question to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And let me play another clip of the president-elect. This is from his Meet the Press interview yesterday, saying if the auto industry wants more money than the temporary bailout they're about to get, then they better be ready for some conditions that he'll set down at the beginning of next year.
If they want to survive, then they better start building a fuel-efficient car. And if they want to survive, they've got to recognize that the auto market is not going to be as large as some of their rosy scenarios that they've put forward over the last several years.
Congressman Wiener, are you going to vote for the auto industry bailout that seems to have been hammered out over the weekend? And do you agree with the kinds of strings that the president-elect laid out there for something bigger for next year?
Well, I have to tell you, I'm only going to vote for a bill that has some of those strings already in place. I mean, I think we can't reward the same bad behavior over and over again. But I do think that it is imperative that we protect what is essentially a third to a half of our entire industrial base. My view is, this is an increasingly uncomfortable position many of us are in Congress in. We're in a situation of essentially bailing out industries that, frankly, in many ways have not really don't really deserve it. But I have to be concerned about the employees of those companies, also what it means to have an economy that lets these big companies go under. I will say this. In the longer term, I think the way you incentivize these companies to do the right thing is to let the consumers do it. And I'm in favor of having either a tax credit or a voucher to say, you use this to go out and buy an American car, but it's got to make at least 35 miles to the gallon. Let these companies go out and compete for those vouchers. But it is absolutely the truth that we can't keep rewarding and bailing out industries without seeing any sign that they're changing their behavior.
Congressman-elect Lance, where are you on the auto bailouts?
I think that there has to be a change in management. The cover of the Wall Street Journal this morning indicates that there's outside pressure for GM to oust Rick Wagner, and certainly the bad behavior that has occurred, particularly regarding SUVs, is really appalling. And that did not occur with automakers around the world. And it seems to me that we should not be rewarding bad behavior. I think we have to save the industry, but certainly there has to be a significant discussion regarding the role of the federal government. I don't know whether that will require a car czar or not, but it's not out of the question that it might.
You know, it doesn't, Congressman Wiener, necessarily go together, these two goals, making themselves profitable and making themselves more green, if the marketplace hasn't supported some of the, the higher fuel efficiency cars, and Americans want to drive SUVs and so forth, and those are the cars that they'll flock to as long as gas prices stay low. And that's one of the ironies right now. If the economy is bad, it's pushing gas prices way back down again. Does it make sense to require the auto companies to do things that may not be in their immediate economic interest, like having, hybrid cars and electric cars, if we're also trying to put them back on the road to financial sustainability?
Well, we have we have a couple of different imperatives here. Remember, these car companies are now coming essentially to ask the federal government and the taxpayers to be shareholders, which means we're allowed to do what frequently people do in proxy discussions and say, look, that's fine, but we also want you to help us with this other goal of making a sustainable economy that's a green economy. You're right. This is an uncomfortable place for many members of Congress to be for just this reason. We're having a conversation about a short-term economic fix, the long-term viability of an important U.S. industry, and on top of it, layered on top of it, is environmental policy, which we're also trying to do. But I can tell you this, the era of small government is over. When the car companies come and ask for $25 billion of what could be $125 billion bailout, to some degree, it's reasonable to expect members of Congress like myself to say, look, we want you to operate in a way not only might make you profitable in the near term, but would make you good corporate citizens in the long term.
My guest on WNYC for another few minutes, New York Congressman Anthony Weiner, Democrat from Brooklyn and Queens, Republican Congressman-elect Leonard Lance of New Jersey from Mike Ferguson's old district, stretching from just off Staten Island all the way out to Hunterdon County. And here is Pam in Hunterdon calling in. Hi, Pam. You're on WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I have a question about the proliferation of brownfields, not only in Hunterdon County, but throughout New Jersey, and wondering about the use and reuse of some of these areas, even to strip them clean and use them for wind fields or alternative energy. And I'll take my answer off the air. I just wanted to put the question out there.
Thank you very much. Congressman-elect Lance?
Yes, we have enacted brownfield legislation in the New Jersey legislature. It is an important component of cleaning up New Jersey, and there are many sites that are appropriate for further development, and this can be done in an environmentally responsible manner, and obviously it's the way we have to go in a state in New Jersey, which had as its base manufacturing, and now that we have moved into a new era, we have to reclimate that land and move forward in an economically viable position.
Jose in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jose.
Hi, good morning, Brian. And Congressman Bofa, thank you for the service to the country.
Thank you. Thank
you. I wanted to ask, what exactly are you guys planning for the poor? Mr. Weiner said that he represents the middle class and people who own houses, $700,000, $1 million homes. But what about the rest of us who have not had, for example, a first-time loan I get a little nervous, Brian, so excuse me.
That's right. You're doing great, and your main point is out there. Congressman Weiner, is it all about the middle class? What about poor people in New York City right now?
Well, this is one of the things that we're wrestling with, those people who are struggling to make it into the middle class. If you look at all the restrictions that we've put back on getting first-time loans, one of the reasons, unwittingly, that we had some of these problems is that Congress and policymakers in general were saying, let's figure out ways to make sure that first-time homeowners can get those loans.
We're building affordable houses here in Brooklyn that $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 homes that I have three children. I worked hard all my life. I got injured. I've been waiting for Social Security for 10 years. They keep telling me that there was no money, and yet you got all these billions of dollars coming around out of nowhere.
Congressman Reno, what about it?
Well, this is the category I described earlier. People reasonably say, with all of this money being pushed out, how come nothing's being done for us? If there is the one, and you asked for the silver linings earlier to the gray cloud, the one silver lining we do see is that in the past 10 years or so, doing affordable housing got increasingly expensive because of the rise of property values. Now that we have a lot more of these developers are coming to the city, coming to the state and saying, listen, suddenly my deal doesn't look financeable. Will you give me financing to help do it? This gives us an opportunity to take properties that have perhaps been envisioned as being market rate and making them 60-20-20, 60% for low income, 20% for middle income, 20% market rate. We do have these opportunities now. The problem is, are we going to have the funding to be able to do it? And that's where, frankly, we have to get the Department of Housing and Urban Development off the sidelines. They've been essentially passive the last 8 years and get them back in the business of doing affordable housing.
Mark in Aberdeen, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Brian, and thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
A little nervous, first-time caller, but...
You and Jose can go to Nervous Callers Anonymous together. But I'm sure you'll do fine, as he did. Go ahead.
Thank you. Brian, I keep hearing that our manufacturing base is eroding year after year after year. Let's be honest. We can't compete with third world countries that can pay their hourly rate wages very low compared to ours. So my question is very fundamental. Is can the United States maintain a super economic supremacy, if you will, without a manufacturing base? I really think that I hear discussions skirt around the issue, but I really think a panel ought to really be brought together with top economists and really decide if we're losing our manufacturing base and it's inevitable it's going to go away, and we become a service nation where we service each other and, you know, sort of making money, so to speak. And that's what I hear. We no longer...
Right. It is one of the biggest questions we face, as I'm sure both of you know. You know, the wealth, this bubble that we're seeing burst right now, was wealth created by investing and or betting on other people's mortgage debt and credit card debt. I heard someone say we can't just be a nation of cutting each other's lawns and cutting each other's hair. So, Congressman-elect Lance, what about Mark's question in the larger scheme of things?
It's an excellent question. I believe fundamentally we have to have a manufacturing component. It will not be as large in the future as it was in the middle and late 20th century, but we need a component that is manufacturing, and that will involve making sure that trade agreements going forward recognize that other parts of the world have to be environmentally responsible, which has not always been the case, and I believe in the ingenuity of the American workforce, the highest productivity anywhere in the world, and I am confident that we can continue to have a manufacturing component, not as large as it once was, but it is essential not only for the workforce, but also, frankly, for national security.
Real quick, before you go, on a couple of other things for each of you. What makes a good U.S. Senator from New York, Congressman Wiener, and do you have a name in mind?
I think we need someone with experience, someone who can fill some very big shoes, someone who can cover a lot of real estate. I think there are several members of the New York congressional delegation that fit that bill. Kirsten Gillibrand, Carolyn Maloney has been a remarkable leader, Jerry Nadler, Steve Israel, Nydia Velasquez, who I think has done a terrific job and represents a couple of important constituencies. I think choosing a member of the New York delegation would be, you almost can't go wrong.
Caroline Kennedy, too inexperienced?
I don't think we need. I think being a senator means going to the state fair and milking cows and running around and that kind of stuff. I think that it is. While the Kennedy family is to be revered, I don't think that enough makes a senator.
And also for you, Congressman Wiener, from a commenter on our webpage, please ask Congressman Wiener about his position on Police Commissioner Kelly's announcement regarding the training of police cadets in the use of M4 machine guns and the planned transformation of the NYPD into a paramilitary force, supposedly, in response to the Mumbai terrorist attacks.
I have to learn a little bit more about that, but I can tell you we are hiring 1,000 fewer cops. We have fewer cops on the beat than we did on September 11th, and I think that's one of the things Mayor Bloomberg and I are going to discuss if he runs against me for mayor.
Okay, that story, by the way, if you want to catch up on it, is the cover of the Post this morning. And Congressman-elect Lance, Northeast Republicans in Congress are almost an extinct species, and the party is all torn up about what its identity should be after the drubbing in this election. How much social conservatism? How much small government tax cut conservatism? Christy Whitman moderate Republicanism or some kind of new model? Would you call yourself, as you enter Congress now, a certain kind of Republican?
Yes, I am a moderate Republican, and I believe that what unites the Republican Party should be fiscal responsibility, and I think we've lost our way in Washington on that. I am pro-choice, and I am a strong environmentalist. What should unite the Republican Party is fiscal responsibility, and yes, here in the Northeast, there are only 3 members of the House in New York State beginning in January, none in New England, and only 5 in New Jersey. It's not a very large group, but I think we have to work together to strengthen the Republican Party in the Northeast, And I think that will lead eventually to our going back into the majority nationally. But we will not do so, Brian, until the Northeast is recognized and our views are views that can be shared by the rest of the country.
Congressman-elect Leonard Lance, Republican from New Jersey. Congressman Anthony Weiner, Democrat from Brooklyn and Queens. Again, congratulations, Mr. Lance.
Thank you.
And Anthony Weiner, always nice to talk to you. Thanks, both of you, for coming on today.
Thank you. Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, guess what we're going to talk more about? That's right, Ray Kelly and those machine guns and the concessions that Ray Kelly and the NYPD just won from the Bush administration regarding civil liberties. Yes, the Bush administration was clamping down too much on what they could do in New York with respect to surveillance of all things. So Bob Henley will report on that with us coming up in 60 seconds. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.